welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started this morning and take a look into the Word of God and really take a look at some parting words that Jesus had to his disciples, some of his parting words. He had more after this, actually, but this is one of the passages we look at, and we think of this passage as what we call the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28. Verses 18 through 20, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" And I really want to take a close look at that last verse there, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, the end of the age, of course, that's the end of the end. That's when ultimately he's coming back and putting everything right. But he wants us to know that in the meantime, that he is with us always to the very end. Even though he's getting ready to ascend to be with the Father, he's with us always, even to the end of the age. Here's that same verse in a few different translations. Amplified says, "And behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age. Amen. So let it be. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age." New Living, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is such a powerful statement. You know, we're down here. We have faith in Christ. We believe that he died on the cross for our sins. Or we all have our own backstory, how we came to faith and how that decision came to be. Obviously, there's nothing in the natural. There's a supernatural Holy Spirit drawing that reveals to us our sinful condition, our need for Jesus, and we make that decision. We call upon him. We find a fellowship. We find faith in him. But this relationship with God is invisible. We can't see him with our natural eyes. It's a faith-based individual relationship. Peter says, "Whom having not seen, yet you rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yet you don't see him with your eyes." And as we're going through life with this invisible relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, from a natural standpoint, there's a powerful reminder that we have what Jesus said, echoing. He said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." In other words, you could put it this way: you'll never be alone again. He's always with you, always. And just thinking about that thought for a little bit, I just wanted to, you know, throw out a few definitions here as it relates to loneliness. What is loneliness? Well, common definitions of loneliness describe it as a state of solitude or being alone. Loneliness is actually a state of mind. Loneliness causes people to feel empty, alone, unwanted. People who are lonely often crave human contact, but their state of mind makes it more difficult to form connections with other people. Loneliness, according to many experts, is not necessarily about being alone. Instead, it is the perception of being alone and isolated that matters most. For example, a college freshman might feel lonely despite being surrounded by roommates and other peers. A soldier beginning his military career might feel lonely after being deployed to a foreign country despite being constantly surrounded by other people. Another take, loneliness is a complex and usually unpleasant emotional response to isolation or a lack of companionship. Loneliness typically includes anxious feelings about a lack of connectedness or community with other beings, both in the present and extending into the future. As such, loneliness can be felt even when surrounded by other people. The causes of loneliness are varied, which include social, mental, or emotional factors. Research has shown that loneliness is widely prevalent throughout society among people in marriages, relationships, families, and successful careers. Loneliness has also been described as social pain, a psychological mechanism meant to alert an individual of isolation and motivate him or her to seek social connections. Okay? Loneliness. Loneliness. And that's really what I want to minister along the lines of this morning is loneliness. Okay? And we've got a lot of different needs that we talk about as far as God meeting our needs. You could, whether it's, you know, physical healing or your provision, your, you know, different needs in life. He loves us. He cares for us. He's moved with compassion. Still meets needs. Here is a great, powerful need that our Lord meets in our life. And we're going to talk about loneliness this morning. And we talk about loneliness, there's a lot of different facets of loneliness. First of all, don't kind of think of, you know, a category of, you know, either people are lonely or not lonely. We all experience loneliness. We all experience this on a lot of different levels in our life. This will come at us. You know, one of the ways that you feel loneliness is when you experience loss. Somebody that you love passes, you know, to be with the Lord. And it's not that, you know, you get the great hope of seeing him again, but in the meantime, you experience loneliness. Not that you don't know that you're going to see him. I mean, even though I know I'm going to see, you know, some of my children at Christmas time, which I'm grateful for, yet I'm still experiencing loneliness between now and then. You know, and it's the same way when you take that paradigm as you're grieving the loss of loved ones. You know you're going to see them again, but in the meantime, you still experience loneliness. You want that companionship with that person that you've known and loved. So there is a loneliness there that's part of grieving the loss of loved ones. I mean, I'll still go throughout my day, I'll see something or something will remind me of my mom or my dad, you know, and I think, oh, it'd be just great to talk to him right now. You know, there's a sense of that loss, that grieving, that loneliness we feel. There's another sense of loneliness that we feel, too, when we just miss it, when we fail, when we just, we mess up. There's a sense of loneliness. In fact, when Adam and Eve messed up in the garden, they ran and they hid themselves because they were afraid. There's a loneliness that comes from our own failure. We feel very by ourselves, very alone, afraid to be able to talk about what we did, just like Adam and Eve were afraid to talk with God about what they did. There's a sense of that spiritual loneliness where you feel isolated from God. Sometimes there's a sense of loneliness, too, just from the people you're around. You know, it can be a faith loneliness. Maybe you're one of those crazies that believe in Jesus and nobody in your family gets you. You know, there's another kind of loneliness. You know, where you're kind of around people you love, but they don't understand your faith, you know, and so you kind of feel a loneliness there too. So there's a lot of different types of loneliness that we experience. So don't, again, as we're kind of talking through this morning, just let the Holy Spirit speak to you and minister to you the different ways that God is going to meet this need. First of all, it's important to know that God sees that. God understands that sense of being alone that we feel and experience, and he is there for us in some powerful ways to help us through times and seasons of loneliness. And this morning, as we look at, talk about minister along the lines of loneliness, one of the powerful ways that God is here with us is he has a comforting presence, okay? I have a scripture, I didn't include it in my presentation this morning, but I'm just going to go ahead and read it out of the Bible. This is from Psalm 139. It says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed me in the inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unformed. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts toward me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than the number of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Picture of God's presence. You know, we think of God being omnipresent. And what is the psalmist basically taking? He's taking that attribute of God's deity of being omnipresent, and he's recognizing his omnipresence in his own life. And is drawing a sense of comfort. No matter how dark it is, no matter how hard it is, you're having a time trying to fall asleep at night, he is there, and he is with you right there. I remember one of our teachers in Bible school telling a story about a guy who just, you know, just kind of walked away from God, just walked away from his faith, and he was just doing things that were wrong. And, you know, one day he kind of went into one of these seedy clubs that he knows he shouldn't have been in, and he's right there, and all of a sudden, just right there in the middle of being there in that point in time, just clearly in his spirit, he just heard the Spirit of God speak to him saying, what are you doing here? And he said his first impulsive thought was, what are you doing here? He was with him. His presence was there. He couldn't run away from God. No matter where he went, there was God. There was his presence. He was right there. Right there. Regardless of how you feel, he is right there. Here's a couple scriptures along these lines too. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. What a powerful passage. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. He has a comforting ministry of presence. And what is this ministry? It's really knowing that he is there, whether I feel him or not. You know, we come into the presence of God, you experience the presence of the Lord, and you kind of, we say, feel his presence or perceive something. Well, the fact of the matter is, whether you feel his presence or not, he is there. He is with you. He is always with you. And a lot of times, it's just a matter of faith, just saying, God, I don't feel your presence right now. You might not, but Lord, I know you're with me. I could be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and you're with me. Preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Man, you're in the presence of your enemies. You're in the presence of people who don't like you, who don't care about you, who are thinking the worst about you. The air is charged with negative vibes. And he's right there anointing you in the presence of your enemies. There is a faith, there is a knowing, there is a believing that regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it feels like, God is with me. And there is a comforting presence of his Spirit that's there. Psalm 91 puts it this way, because he set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. What is that saying? The scripture is saying that God doesn't run when you're in trouble. When you messed up, you did wrong, and people are turning their back on you. They're embarrassed of you. They're ashamed of you. God is with you. God is still there. God isn't a fair-weather friend. He's with you in trouble. Not only is he with you in trouble, but he'll deliver you and honor you. That's a powerful thing. A lot of times you fail, you mess up, you think, oh, that's it. Let's see what kind of a life I can still eke out here. No, he'll deliver you, he'll forgive you, he'll honor you, he'll restore you, he'll raise you back up. He has a comforting presence. And a lot of times, you don't understand the hows and the whats and the wherefores. You just know that he's with you. You know that his presence is with you. One other passage along these lines. 2 Corinthians 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Verse 4, Amplified, I believe, who comforts, consoles, encourages us in every trouble, calamity, and affliction, so that we also may be able to comfort, console, encourage those who are in any kind of trouble or distress with the comfort, consolation, encouragement with which we ourselves are comforted, consoled, encouraged by God. Okay? He is the God of all comfort. I love that. I love that title about him. He truly is the God of all comfort. And what he does, you know, in comforting us, is he speaks to us. He speaks to your heart. And I want to say this, and one of the most powerful ways God speaks to you and comforts you, but you have a part to play in this, is the Lord wants to tell you himself that he loves you, that he's with you, and that he's for you. If I was to say God loves you, he's with you, and he's for you, is that scriptural? Yeah. There's a bazillion scriptures I could quote right now along those lines. But it's another thing to know it's true. It's one thing for a pastor or a preacher to say God loves you. It's another thing for you to allow yourself to hear those words in your own heart from God. It's another thing for you to even verbalize them. I've been in places of prayer where I'm crying out to God and I'm just saying, you know, Father, help me. And I've just heard those words, Ed, I love you. And I'm with you right now. It's okay. I've verbalized that. Not only do I know it's true theologically, but in that place where you can allow yourself to hear those words coming from the Spirit of God. You know, there's a comfort in that. I don't have all the answers, but there's a comfort of his presence. He's there. There's only one reason the psalmist didn't fear, though he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, because he's with me. Because he's with me. That's one of the most comforting experiences you can have in loneliness, is just knowing that he is with you. Allow yourself to hear that. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. When it comes to loneliness, have ears to hear that he loves you. Have ears to hear that he's with you. This is nothing new theologically. It's not some theological missing link that's going to unlock and show you things. It's a very plain truth, a very powerful, simple truth that is the answer and will comfort you in those times. It's a comfort of his presence, you know? And then there is just something about that. I think one of the loneliest things that you can experience, you think of the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. It says, one by one, they all left. You know, they were going to stone her, and they let go of those rocks. Jesus said, he among you is without sin, let him cast the first stone. They had to drop their rocks. It says they left from the oldest to the youngest. So the people who had been around for a while longer got convicted early, and they had to let go of their rocks. Then finally, the younger ones did too. And then it says she was left there all alone with Jesus. And Jesus went up to her and said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He was alone with Jesus, and Jesus said, I don't condemn you. That's an important thing to remember. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And when you're turning to Jesus, you're turning to the Spirit. And you're saying, God, help me. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your cleansing. And he's there. There's a presence of grace. There's a presence of that forgiveness. So there's a ministry, we'll just say a comfort of presence. Also, there's a comforting perspective. You know, it's one thing to get a sense of his presence in your life and just to know that he's with you. But he will also show you some things by his Spirit that will have a very comforting effect. I just call it a comforting perspective. Here's a powerful comforting perspective. For I consider, this is the Apostle Paul, saying, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, there are some present time sufferings that we're going through down here. There are sufferings that will manifest themselves in forms of loneliness. where maybe people just don't get you, and you're wanting that fellowship, you're wanting that companionship, and you're feeling alone. There will be some times when God is going to give you a supernatural perspective. I know this has helped me too, just to comfort my heart too, as I'm looking forward to the time of being reunited with loved ones in heaven and realizing that this is temporary. Boy, you know, whatever it is you're going through down here, it is temporary. Even your flesh that you wrestle with, it's temporary. Demonic spirits, powers, and principalities that we wrestle. We know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against powers, principalities. That wrestling match is temporary. All these things are temporary. And I love how the Apostle Paul puts it. He says, man, there's coming a time when this is just, it's going to be done. You know, we're in this season of life, which is a vapor. At that point, your spirit leaves your body, and this time is done. But this is precious time. This is precious time to live for God. In fact, the Apostle Paul had the privilege of being caught up to the third heaven and saw and experienced things that are amazing. And when he came back into his body, he said, man, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He knew what was waiting on him. He said, yet it's more precious and more important, needful, that I stay in the flesh. Because if I do, that means fruit that's going to be produced. In other words, he came to heaven, he came back, and he realized the importance and the value of his life here on earth. The things that he did on this earth mattered. You see, because once we're out of this body, we're done. You know, this is kind of like, I like to liken where we're at right now. I played football in high school, and there was nothing quite like Friday night under the lights in Carson Park in Eau Claire playing football. It was like your time, you're in the game. And I loved being in the game. I loved the physical. I was a strong safety. It was fun to, you know, hit people and, you know, different things like that. It was really an outlet. It was legal, you know. I could put on the pads and go for it. And it was fun. It was a game. It was a battle, you know. It was like a little war going on there. And you get the cheering section and people out there cheering for you. And man, I've even had dreams where I've slept and it's like I'm back there. I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is amazing. Incredible. I would just, you know, and then I'd wake up and go, oh, that was so awesome, you know. But I've had the Lord remind me, you know, as you're kind of going through stuff and feeling lonely or different, you know, you're in the game right now. This is your time. And when you're out of the game, I can go back to Carson Park in Eau Claire, but I'm going to be in the grandstands. They're not going to let me on the field. I have to be in the grandstands cheering them on because I had my time. I had my slice of time. My little glory football days. But right now, I'll tell you what, this is our time. And this is where the scripture, you know, talks about the great hall of fame, faith hall of fame in Hebrews chapter 11. And then starting Hebrews chapter 12, it refers to them like they're in the grandstands cheering us on now. So yeah, it's practices were hard. Those two-a-days and all that kind of stuff. And the games were, you know, exciting and different things going on. But I'll tell you what, right now, this is our time. This is our time to do it, to live it, to go for it, you know, to do everything and make the most of everything we've got in this life and realize it's powerful. What we're doing here right now is important. Yeah, there's some sufferings for this present time, but there's going to be a glory that'll be revealed. And to just realize this is temporary. I know that one time I was kind of going through one of these deals when we were in Tulsa. We had just moved into our new house that we had built in Tulsa, and we're so excited. And you know, as it turned out, it just was a really bad situation. We moved in and everything went wrong. Julie's smiling. That could went wrong. Our water didn't work. Our electricity didn't work. Our phones didn't work. And we didn't have cell phones back then in 1992. Yeah, 92. It came more mid-90s for in mainstream anyway. And so we were really stuck. And Julie had, I mean, she had handbells. That morning, it was a Sunday morning, and we were getting ready to go to church, and we both left our lights on in the car, so both of our batteries were dead. And it was really just like, it was like literally anything that could go wrong went wrong. And the old Murphy's Law adage. And it was, you know, it's frustrating. You know, when you have days like that, it's very, you can just get, it's like you don't even want to move after a while. It's so frustrating. And so we had a guy, I forgot if we went to the neighbor, had somebody came out and gave us a jump. It was like $100 to jump our car. It was a deluxe jump. I don't know. Anyway, we got a deluxe jump. So we got the cars running and just enough to be able to get to church. And I remember going to church that morning, and Julie's mom was actually with me that morning, Kathy, and we were just driving, and I thought, well, I'm just going to play some music and get my mind on things above. I turned my radio on, and the volume went from like 5 to 10, off the charts, just blaring loud. And I just had to turn it off. It was, something happened. I've never had that before or since. The radio just went off. I don't know if it was the deluxe jump that boosted it, but it was off. And I ended up having to get it repaired, and it was somehow broke. I don't know. It was just like, oh, it's like the bad Midas touch thing. And it was like everything, you know. And I was just in church, and I was in church that morning, and I was just mad, you know. And just thinking, you know, how literally everything went so wrong. And I was just kind of worshiping and, you know, kind of entering into praise and worship and different things like that. And all of a sudden, it was like right after praise and worship, the thought that just bothered me so bad was the $100 jump. You know, the $100, you spent $100 jumping your car and then everything else that was going wrong and all of a sudden I just had, and this is where it's like revelation. You know, it's like a supernatural. Here's a good scripture along those lines. I don't cease to give thanks to you, making mention of your prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, I want you to see something on the inside, how much God loves you, how much God's for you, the power that he has toward you. And all I'm just kind of sitting in there, just kind of stewing over my morning, and all of a sudden I got a revelation of just how much God loves me and is for me. And I could just see, it was like in my mind's eye, it was like I could just see the glory of heaven. You know, the glory that was going to be revealed. I could just see that in my spirit. And then all of a sudden when that voice came back, man, you lost $100 in a jump. It was like I wasn't even mad. It was funny to me. It was a humorous that I was just so worked up over something so little in light of what's waiting on me, in light of what's in store for me. The sufferings of this present time, they're not even worthy to be compared. And the more that thought came to me as far as, oh, but what about the light? What are you going to do about your electricity? I just laugh even harder. But yeah, but what about the phones? And it was all of a sudden, I began to laugh in the spirit. And it's the Bible says laughter does good like a medicine, a merry heart. And all of a sudden, what is it? It's a revelation of this. God will give you a revelation of the things that are true and real in the spirit. And all of a sudden, these big things that are issues that are just robbing and stealing your joy, natural little things that are very temporary. God will give you comforting Holy Spirit perspectives. That's a powerful one right there. Those perspectives can help tide you over and comfort you and realize, especially when you're dealing with some things. You're dealing with some grieving. You're dealing with some loneliness. You're dealing with some things. I'll tell you what, it's temporary. It is temporary. God's healing you. He's working in you. And there is something that is waiting on you that is just greater than the suffering and the stuff that you're going through right now. It's temporary. And that's what's just one of those things. God will show you things. He'll give you a vision, a perspective, a supernatural perspective of, about him being for you. 1 John 2:27 puts it this way, but the anointing which you've received from him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you, but that same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. Just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And so I just want to say this to you, especially in the sense of perspective, because I think there's one thing that the enemy tries to do, you know, kind of to the point of my story, is he will try to make you feel unlucky. Like there's just something about you, that things just don't quite go quite right with you. You know? For most people, it's okay. But there's something about you. That's a lie. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, people have gone through it. And to realize that he is with you, he's in you, he's teaching you, he's guiding you. I can throw out a few things, but what you need to realize is not only is he, you know, with you, but he's in you. The Holy Spirit will show you some things that'll comfort you and help you. You know, me and Caleb were watching a sports deal afterwards, and we saw this guy who got up to bat, and he got beamed, and he got to take his base. And as he was running into second, he got hit again. It was unbelievable. The same way, this is the same at bat. All right? And then some guy got a hit, and then he's running home, and he gets pegged in the head, I think it was. He's just laid out. This is one guy, same at bat, hit three times with a baseball. You know, you said, we were laughing too. It's like you felt bad, but you felt bad for the guy. But it's like, I mean, wow, it could get in your head after a while, you know. There's just something about me, you know. And I've thought that, you know, I've had those thoughts too. You know, there's just something about me that's just not quite right, that's just unlucky. And I'll tell you what, the problem with that, it's loneliness. When you feel that way and you believe that lie, and there's just something about you, it's designed to do one thing, isolate you and make you feel alone and different and weird and strange and unreachable by God. The father of lies is just lying again. That's the one thing that Satan's good at. He's a really good liar. He's the father of lies. He's very convincing, very subtle in the way he'll talk. But I'll tell you what, it's not true. The Holy Spirit abides in you, and he will tell you, you're not alone. You're not alone. I love you. I'm with you. I'm for you. Okay? So there's another comforting. He'll give you perspectives. He'll kind of pull you to that 30,000-foot level sometimes and just say, hey, look, in the big picture, this is not a big deal, all right? You're going to fly. You're going to make it through this. Then finally, there's a comforting acceptance, and this is a really powerful, important thing because, you know, whether I'm getting the perspective or not, whether I'm sensing or feeling the presence or not by faith, there's a truth I can go back to. That's absolutely rock solid no matter what. There is a comforting acceptance that you have in God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, by which he's made us accepted in the beloved. Wow, praise God. You know, there may be some places and situations where you're not accepted, but you're accepted where it matters most. You're accepted in the beloved. You're accepted by him. He loves you for you. And so really realizing, again, no matter what that context of loneliness is, I can go back to one thing. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm not fighting for that. That's something that I have as a gift that God has given me. Romans puts it this way. What then should we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That's a powerful thing. And to kind of remember, not only are you accepted in the beloved, but just see what Jesus, you know, we think Jesus died on the cross for our sins, praise God, rose again, paid the price. But you know, he didn't stop there. Jesus is still actively ministering on your behalf at this very moment. Who also makes intercession. Christ who died, furthermore, is risen, even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. I don't know what that sounds like. I don't know what that looks like. But I know that he knows you. I know that he knows me. And I can tell you that I'm just standing today before God because I know my Lord Jesus has stuck with me. And I see that. I'm accepted in the beloved. You know, when I think of this, Jesus making intercession for me, you know the picture that I get? I get the picture of Peter just before he denied Jesus three times. Remember when Jesus said, he said, you guys are going to betray me tonight. And Peter said, look, I don't care if everybody betrays you. I will never betray you, Jesus. Ever. Not me. And Jesus said, you know, before the rooster crows, twice, you're going to deny three times that you even know who I am. He said, but I've prayed for you. And after you recover yourself, you know, restore your brothers. That's quite a statement. You will fail. You will miss it. But I've prayed for you. I kind of wonder what that prayer might have sounded like. Jesus praying for Peter before he misses it. Well, Father, you know Peter. He's a very emotional guy. He's going to take this hard. You know, I don't know what he prayed, but he knew Peter. And he knew how to pray for him. And sure enough, true to what Jesus said, he denied three times. And the Bible says the third time that he denied Jesus, he denied him with cursing. And right after he denied him that third time, Jesus looked straight at him. Looked him straight in the eye. After Peter denied him with cursing. Wow. Eye contact with Jesus after you've denied him for the third time with cursing. That could stick in your head. That could be a tough one to shake. You know? And it says that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. The depth of failure. But you know what? But I prayed for you, Peter. Have you missed it? Have you ever wept bitterly? Have you just said, you know, even though God sticks with you, you've had it with yourself. You're done with, you know, he loves you. He's still with you. He's still for you. He's ever living to make intercession. That's what happened. Peter was a strength to his brothers, and he restored and helped his brothers that day. He's praying for you. Even though you're feeling alone, you're accepted in the beloved, and he's interceding for you. You know who you are. He knows who you are. He knows how to pray for you. He knows how to intercede for you. There is grace. Grace to bring you back. Grace to restore you. I love how John puts it. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. You see, this acceptance puts you in the palm of his hand. And there is a nurturing and a care. You know, Jesus loved to put the illustration off to us. He says, if you being evil know how to have this parental, selfless love for your children, how much more will your heavenly Father have that same selfless, parental love for his children? He is there with us and for us. You know, even if a child messes up, there's a parental desire to see that child come back, to be restored. Hebrews says it this way, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? This is that same verse in the Amplified. Check this out. For he, God himself, has said, I will never in any way fail you or give up, nor leave you or give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not. This is the original language affirmation. I will not, I will not, I will not. In any degree, leave you helpless or forsake you or let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? That's the parental love and heart and acceptance that the Father has toward us as we're going through stuff. As we're talking about loneliness this morning, just some things to understand. A lot of different kinds, types of loneliness. God sees every one. He is a comforting presence. He is there. You can't run away from him. You can't get away from him. He is with you. This is that first one, man. You just know that by faith. God, you're with me. God, you're present with me. You know, whether it's failure, whether it's grieving, regardless of what it is, he's there. You're walking through the valley of the shadow of your own death. He's right there. Even when you die. Do you know when you die, you're not alone. There's two people living in you. There's your human spirit and the Holy Spirit. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, he's in you. And when you even die, you walk to that valley, you and him leave together. You'll never experience loneliness even at the point of death. You and the Holy Spirit together go to heaven. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will abide with you forever. He's with you. There's nowhere you can go from his presence. He is there. But what is it allowing? What am I saying? Allow yourself to have ears to hear that he is there. Let him tell you that he loves you. Verbalize that with your mouth. It's true. It will comfort you. And it will remind you of his presence and his love for you. Comforting perspective. God will show you things. God will give you those 30,000-foot views that even though this is suffering for now, even though it's lonely for now, it is a season. And it will not be forever. When this is all wrapped up, we're going to be one big family together in heaven with the Lord forever and ever and ever. And just think about that. You're going to be able to express your love in ways that mortal flesh sometimes just doesn't even let you because of our own insecurity and weird. I'm telling you what, there's going to be a fulfillment and a satisfaction that is just going to be beyond what we can even think or imagine. There's a comforting perspective, something we have to look forward to. And then finally, a comforting acceptance. He ever lives to make intercession for you. You're right in the palm of his hand. He's for you. That parental love that he observes, that we observe in our own life, he has it for us. We are accepted, not because we're perfect. Not at all. We're accepted by grace through faith. What Jesus did for us. That's the whole and sum of it. So you are not alone. You will never, ever be alone again. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for just the comforting truths from your word. We just pray, Lord, that regardless of what it is that we're going through, that we would just always know, sense, and just allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts, to minister that comfort. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith, if your heart can agree with these words. Dear Heavenly Father, I will never be alone again. You're always with me. At the point of death, you're with me. There's nowhere I can go from your presence. Wherever I go, you're there. You're omniscient. You're omnipotent. And you are omnipresent. You're always with me. Show me things. Divine perspectives. Help me to see the big picture. You're huge. My problems are small compared to the glory that's waiting on all of us. Help me to remember that and that you love me. I open my ears to hear those words that you love me. I allow those words to comfort me. Not because they sound good, but because they're true. And I receive it. Thank you for your acceptance. Thank you for your intercession. You are in my heart. You're in my life. I'll never be alone again. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So be encouraged this morning. Wherever that sense of you may feel you're all by yourself, you're not. He's there too. Trying to fall asleep at night, thinking there's just nobody who gets me. He's there. He gets you. We'll go ahead and prepare to take up our offering this morning. As we do, I'm going to just read you a little song. You know, the Bible says to speak to one another in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. I like to do that a lot at Door of Life because there are spiritual songs that sometimes encapsulate and summarize the heart of the message. So this one is called You're Not Alone. It's by Meredith Andrews. It says, I searched for love when the night came and it closed in. I was alone, but you found me where I was hiding, and now I'll never be the same. It was the sweetest voice that called my name saying, you're not alone. I'm here. Let me wipe away your every fear. my love, I've never left your side. I've seen you through the darkest night. I'm the one who's loved you all your life, all your life. You cry yourself to sleep because the hurt's real and the pain cuts deep. All hope seems lost with heartache. Your closest friend and everyone else long gone. You've had to face the music on your own, but there is a sweeter song that calls you home saying you're not alone. I'm here. Let me wipe away every tear. My love, I've never left your side. I've seen you through the darkest night, and I'm the one who's loved you all your life, faithful and true forever. My love will carry you. You're not alone. I am here. Let me wipe away your every fear, my love. I've never left your side. I've seen you through the darkest night, your darkest night. I'm the one who's loved you all your life. Boy, that's a big key to loneliness and getting it filled is letting. Just letting the Lord comfort you. Let him comfort you. Let him in. See it. Declare it. Acknowledge it. It'll fill your heart. It'll fill your soul. It'll fill your spirit. And you'll be strengthened by his presence. We know it theologically, but where does it meet real life? It's when we're emotionally feeling it and saying, okay, God, here we go. Come on in. Be Lord, minister in those deep, deep hearts of my heart.